Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
These are those critical hours when it's just like, it matters what our perspective is on. It matters what it is that we have our gaze on, what we're focusing on. Because I think about, you know, in those recent days when Rick Joyner was talking about Enoch, and it was just like, you know, in the darkness of the hour that Enoch lived, his focus was so dedicated and his gaze was so fixated on God that the Bible talks that he didn't die, that God took him. And it's like in these moments of where we are now, we have that choice of just saying, okay, what is it that I'm going to focus on? What is it that I'm going to put my gaze on? And I just got thinking about, it's just like, God, I just want my heart to be so set on you that nothing would be able to deter me. And I got to thinking, and it's just like, when you think about that, some of the people that God used, we can look at the end of the journey and forget where they came from. And I think about Peter. Peter was a guy, you look in the book of Acts, he was one of the disciples of Jesus. And we look at it in Acts chapter 2, it talks about how Peter shared a message. And after that message, the Bible says about 3,000 people were added to their number that day. 3,000! And you're just like, man, such boldness, such resolve to just speak the word of God. But oftentimes we forget the fact that this was the same guy that denied Jesus 3 times.
Right.
And you're talking about the timings of the Lord. This happened right before Jesus was to be crucified. The hour, the night that Jesus was basically betrayed. So basically when Jesus was killed, was crucified, 3 days later, he was risen. Oftentimes we forget that reality. Imagine that 3 day period for Peter. That was the last thing he had. That was the last conversation. And when you look at the book of John, it talks about the fact that Peter went back to fishing. He's like, forget this ministry thing. This just didn't work out. I'm just going to go back to what I did before. And they could not catch any fish. And you can look at this in John chapter 21. But then Jesus comes back and he's sitting on the shore. And he calls out, and there's John and Peter, and I believe there's another disciple in the boat, and he says, did you guys catch anything? And they're like, no, we didn't. And he says, go ahead and throw your net on the other side. And they catch such a catch of fish. They had trouble lifting it into the
bringing
boat.
Bringing it into the boat.
And John immediately recognized who he is, and you look in this, and it's John 21, verse 7. He says, then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, he says, it's the Lord. And as soon as Peter heard this, he wrapped his outer garment around himself and he jumped into the water. Now you got to picture this. Imagine the 3 days that Peter just went through. I just can't come to grips with that reality. And here's John and the other disciples like, oh, Jesus is here. It's the Lord. We're going to row back. But Peter jumps from the boat into the water. That is an abandoned heart. That is a heart that is so set on God of just like, I just want to go after him. And you can look at that conversation that Jesus has with Peter saying, you know, do you love me? Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? And it's like, that is such a powerful transformation that Peter had to go through because Jesus saw that. He saw that moment even when Peter denied him 3 times. And it's just like, it makes me think about Saul. And Saul was basically just a religious zealot, persecutor of the church at that time. And it talks about it in Acts chapter 9. And Acts chapter 9 talks about a journey that Saul was going on. He was basically on the road to Damascus. And while he's walking on the road, and it says in verse 1, it says, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He's coming against the church.
Which when we think about that, Steve, when we think about that, how many people would have given up on Saul? I mean, he's making these murderous threats. He has a letter that he feels justified. He's going to go get him some Christians.
Yep.
I mean, he's going to get him some Christians. And he had religion to back it up. I mean, he thought he was doing something in the name of God for God. And how many people would have given up on Saul But thank goodness, thank the good Lord, right? Mm-hmm. That God didn't give up on him, because most of our New Testament Bible is written by Paul. I mean, he went from Saul to Paul. Obviously, he had a conversion. He had an encounter with God. But it reminds me so many times that, you know, you often hear maybe us share, or you may have heard before, that, you know, there's 1.2, 1.8 billion Muslims, and 15% of them are radicalized, which means there's 300 million radical Muslims. Listen, no one is not too far that they can't be reached by God. And so it's not for us to be in fear of people that don't follow the Lord, but it's for us to recognize that we can reach them. And in fact, during Ramadan, during the time that they fast, Muslims fast, many, many Muslims are coming to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. They're seeing him in visions. They're encountering him, and God is revealing himself to them. So when you're talking about Saul mm-hmm. having a heart after God, it's important for us not to forget so many people that just because they're not walking with God today doesn't mm-hmm. mean they won't walk with God tomorrow.
Yeah.
And in fact, many revivals have been that way, where people, the revival wasn't basically fueled by the people that have been there long before. It was those who got saved in the revival that were actually being used to fan the flames and propel it and watch it spread.
Yeah. And that's with you saying that. And it's just like, we have to recognize that we're no different than Saul. With him speaking against murderous threats, it's just like, before Christ, before we came to know Jesus, we're all dead in our sins. And it's just like, there's that lie that says, well, he's more of a sinner than I am. It's just like, no. Without Jesus, there is no saving. There is no joy after death. It's just like heaven or hell. That's it. There's no gray area. And it's just like, that's that clarity that we have to have. And it's just like, apart from God, we're separated him for eternity. And the thing is, Saul recognized who he was in that revelation, like we're talking about on that road to Damascus. He saw Jesus. It says, a light that was brighter than the noonday sun. And I've been over there in the Middle East. That's a bright sun in the summer, That it's hot. But he sees Jesus, and he goes blind for 3 days. And something that the Holy Spirit revealed to me was just like, he wasn't blind completely. He may have been blind in the world, but he was seeing his own heart. And you think about the life that he had lived, and he was looking at himself. And then after that, for God to send a man, Cornelius, to come and touch his eyes and something like scales to fall off, and you read about it in Acts chapter 9, but you look at this, a man that was used so powerfully, like you're saying, wrote half the New Testament. But what is so, I think, significant to me was that a man that actually never met Jesus in the flesh had some of the most powerful revelations. And it highlights that it's not about proximity. It's not about information. Because Peter was right next to Jesus all along.
The whole time. 3 years.
3 years. But how God revealed himself to Saul. And now Paul, and how Paul went after him. That is an abandoned heart. That is the hunger that we have to go after him. I don't know if we have enough time in this session.
Actually, we're about to go to break, but we want to be able to share. I want you to continue to be with us on this journey as we continue to talk about the importance of having a heart after God. Not just for God, but one that is pursuing him.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we want to walk in such a way that we are drawing closer to the Lord, that we are eager to hear his voice, and not just for him to reveal himself and give us revelation, but we want a soft heart so that we can obey his word, so that we can glorify his name, and so that we can bring him glory on this earth. It's not about information, but it's about revelation. And that revelation, once we apply it and obey, will result in a manifestation in our life of the truth that God's showing us.
I'm just so challenged. Like when I look at Paul's life, I just think about that. And it's just like, we've got to remind ourselves that we're no different than Saul. And if we think that we are, then we're going to disconnect ourselves from the opportunity to see what Paul saw, to allow God to use us in the same way that Paul was used for God's glory. And it's so significant because it's like, how are we aligned with God? Are we searching after him? Are we hungering after him? Because that's the thing. It's just like, will we allow God to show us in our heart what Saul saw was in his own heart. Because it's in that moment that we're able to see what Paul saw. And I came across something, and it's a video of a compilation. And in this, it's talking about being hungry after God. And I got to ask you that question. Right now, how are you searching after God? And there's a minister's name is Zach Poonen. I want you to listen to this and really challenge yourself and ask yourself this question. How are you searching for God right now? Listen to this.
If you were walking in the grass at night and you lose a 5-cent coin, how long would you look for it? Would you spend the whole night looking for that cheap coin? No. But supposing during the day you accidentally misplaced $100,000 somewhere. Boy, you'd spend a long time looking for that. How do you seek for God? Do you seek for God like a 5-cent coin? Okay. You look for a little bit. If you find it, well and good. If you don't find, doesn't matter. I've got other more important things to do. Well, then such people never find God. God says, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart.
Think about that. You will find him when you seek him and search for him with all your heart.
Not some.
Not some. And I will tell you that those two men, Peter and Saul, you can't search for God unless you know what is in your heart. And I'll tell you, it's a scary moment because God will show you some things and he's going to ask you, do you want to go there? But you can't see the full love of God until you see the fullness of your own heart and see your desperate need for him. And that's where that question lies. It's like, God, show me the depths of what's in me. Show me what you showed Saul. Show me what you gave him eyes to see. Because you think about it, think about this. God had to take away Saul's vision for the world for him to see his own heart. You got to cut away everything of the world. You got to stop looking at everything that the world's going to want to put in front of you for you to just get into that time with God. Allow the Holy Spirit to reveal your own heart to you just like he did to Peter, just like he did to Saul, so that we can go after him just like Paul did.
I think about Psalms 139 where in verse 23 says, search me, O God, and know my heart.
Yeah.
That's an important statement. Search me, God, and know my heart. And it's not like, you know, God doesn't know your heart, but it's more like, you know,
we don't know our own heart.
Search it and reveal it to me. You know, search my heart, know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts and see if there's any offensive way in me.
Mm.
And then he says, lead me in the way everlasting. And I think that's the honest approach. I mean, because a lot of times you have to be real with yourself, exactly what you're saying. You're not going to go after God. You're not going to run, you know, and chase hard after him, if you will. I remember the book that Tommy Tenney wrote called God Chasers. And it's kind of like Tozer's book, In Pursuit of God. You know, you're not going to chase after him if you're so loaded down with all the other things and all the concerns of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't wait till we can continue to expand this conversation this week as we continue to talk about, you know, are you ready to die for something? Are you ready to lay it all down? Because if you don't have a big enough reason to live, which is God, then what are you doing?
What are you doing it for?
What are you chasing after? The more I live, the more I realize that, you know, life is short, and the Bible is true. Life is but a vapor. We're here today, and then we're gone tomorrow. And all the excuses that sound good today, Steve, you know, work, I got this, I got that, I would spend more time with God, I they all go away when you're standing before him.
Think about this. Remember when in the time I was spending with the Lord, he asked me this, he told me this one question. He told me this one statement. He says, live out your days before the judgment seat of Christ. Live out everything you do in the reality that that moment is a reality, that you will stand before him and have to answer for everything that you're doing. Changes everything.
It does. Remember Leonard Ravenhill used to say, stamp eternity On your forehead, on your mind.
On my eyeballs, yeah.
Yeah, stamp eternity. And then I believe it was Jonathan Edwards who said, you know, he resolved never to do anything which he would be ashamed to do if it was the last hour of his life. Mm-hmm. Today, those thoughts don't even run through our minds. We don't consider it, but it can. We can have a heart that is after the Lord and is pursuing him, but we have to take honest inventory of where we are today. Mm-hmm. Where are you? Where are you? Are you considering of being in? Are you halfway in? Or are you really in? Mm-hmm. I believe that if you would turn your heart today, if you would be honest and check yourself, if you will, and allow the Holy Spirit to show you certain things, that you can actually make a turn in your life. You can repent, and you can be on the right track, on the right path, and you can be on this pursuit. This is a journey, and you might have lost your way, but all you have to do is cry out to God. Steve, would you close us out in prayer?
Father God, we just thank you, Lord, that you are the light of the world. There's darkness everywhere, but God, you are worth our gaze. Holy Spirit, I ask you, Lord, that you would just reveal our hearts to us like you did to Peter, like you did to Saul, so that we can run after you like Paul did, like Peter did. Lord, we ask you, God, for more of you. We just pray for a hunger, God, that is greater than anything of the world, that we would seek Christ and Christ alone. We say, have your way, God, and we say, you are worthy of everything. Help us to live out our lives before the judgment seat of Christ. Give us grace, God, that we would be set on fire in such a way, Lord, that we would give glory to you and that the Lamb, God, would receive his reward. And we just say, have your way, Lord. In Jesus' name, God.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.